Good morning and welcome to Contact on Connect FM. I'm your host, Michael Clement. This morning, live in studio, I have Dr. Mary Tatum, who is the director of the Child Advocacy Center of Clearfield County. We're going to be having a very serious but important discussion about the National Child Abuse Prevention Month. And so we're going to be having a very serious discussion, but it's one that is extremely important and one that you're going to want to listen to. We're going to do that after this message. Contact on Connect FM is brought to you in part by Community County Services for local family-based mental health.
Hi, folks. Are you having problems with your child at home? Is their behavior a problem? Are you at your wits' end? If so, call us for more information. Community County Services. We provide family-based mental health. Call for information at 371-8066. We work to help you keep your family together in a healthy way. Community County Services, 371-8066.
Welcome back to Contact on Connect FM. I'm your host, Michael Clement. I know we're going to be having a very serious discussion and a very important one, but I just want to say it's always great to have my friend, Dr. Mary Tatum, in studio live with me this morning. Good morning, Mary. Thank you for coming in.
Good morning, Michael. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. This is extremely important.
Yes.
And I know that this month is National Child Abuse Prevention Month. Mm-hmm. I know you're the director of the Child Advocacy Center of Clearfield County. I do want you to tell our listeners about all of that, but let's just jump in if you don't mind.
Sure.
Why don't you start off with some very important statistics for people to hear?
Yeah, I would love to. So let's just talk about what a CAC is real quick, and yep. Then just some state statistics as well as some local statistics. A child advocacy center is a place where children can come that may have experienced abuse or witnessed crime. And in Pennsylvania, they'll receive a forensic interview, and if appropriate, they will receive a medical exam and referrals for counseling. They'll also have victim advocacy services while they're there. They are also receiving a multidisciplinary team approach to that child abuse investigation or that witness to crime. In Pennsylvania in 2023, CACs, there's 41 CACs in Pennsylvania, they served 14,922 children.
It's a big number.
Big number. And of those numbers, 199 of those children were from Clearfield County.
And that's also a big number for our county.
Yes, because when we look at our population, it's a little under 25% of, 76,000 now are under the age of 18. So.
Wow.
Yeah. And we know that one in four girls and one in six boys will be survivors of sexual assault before the age of 18.
Which is just a sad, unfortunate reality, right? And with that types of statistics, and my guess, unfortunately, is that it's a little higher because people don't always tell.
Well, what we do know is only 10% of people, or 10% of people disclose sexual abuse before the age of 18. And we also know that 55 to 69% of victims do not disclose child sexual abuse at all during childhood.
Yeah, which is, what do you attribute that to? Are they just scared to come forward? Are they, is it because they know who did this to them?
Sure. There's a lot of reasons for victims not to come forward. We and I actually have some research I had pulled up that cites reasons why kiddos don't disclose. Sometimes it's a caregiver relationship. Maybe that parent or that guardian are not supportive of the youth, or maybe they're experiencing some emotional abuse. We know that decreases the likelihood for a kiddo to disclose. Often, if a child is living with the abuser, they will, or has regular access to that abuser, they will not disclose because they're worried about their safety. Another reason that we'll see kids not disclose is because they want to protect their parents. And because as a parent, if you hear that something happened to your child, it's upsetting, it's scary, it can ruin your world, right?
Right.
And kids are smart, and they recognize that. And sometimes they'll actually hold that secret in as a mechanism to protect. We also see sometimes with kiddos, they've been threatened. Maybe the abuser is somebody that they love, and they know that if they come forward and talk about what's happening, that person might go to jail or they may be, maybe the child will become homeless. Sometimes they're threatened that, you know, if they tell, they're going to kill a family pet, or, you know, the perpetrator may, you know, threaten to hurt or harm the child. So there's a lot of reasons that we'll see for kiddos not to come forward.
Yeah, no, I think it's just, it's so serious. And mm-hmm. I know this is part of your job, and maybe you can give us some insight into it. Like, how do we go about getting children to open up then to you or a professional?
Sure. So the first thing we need to remember about abuse is that disclosure, which is what we call when a child does an outcry, disclosure is a process. So
right.
Oftentimes in that process, kiddos will tell a trusted adult or maybe a friend. And it's after that point of outcry, if that trusted adult knows to do a mandated report, they can, you know, do that mandated report and then support the child, you know, to talk with investigators or to talk at the CAC for that forensic interview. If the kiddo discloses to that parent and we can get them connected, right? It's all in that secure relationship. If they have a good relationship with an adult, that will give them higher possibilities and probability to disclose.
And that's why we have a CAC, right?
It's a safe environment. Mm-hmm. It's child friendly. And we are very trauma informed with the layout of our center. Like, where our interview room is in proximity to the waiting room is not far. And we never take a kiddo back to that interview room without giving them and their caregiver a tour, so everybody knows where everybody's at, because we don't want anyone having any question or any concerns about where someone's going to be.
And then they feel much more comfortable.
Yeah. We also have
we
have a facility dog at our center, Kirby. Oh. He's a chocolate lab. He's the bestest boy in the whole wide world.
Well, Kirby deserves a shout out.
Yeah, absolutely. And he came from United Disability Services. Mm. He was actually trained as a service dog and then was placed with us. And he's been such a blessing. We got him in 2020.
Yeah, no, that's, I say, very cool, but important that you have something like that to kind of break the ice with mm-hmm. some of these children.
And he's super intuitive, so he's really good at comforting kids in a way that we can't.
Right.
So.
And I'm sure he's helped in many ways.
Oh, yeah. He's helped hundreds of kids. I think he's helped 600 to 800 children since he's been with us.
Wow. As you said, the numbers that you help throughout the years mm-hmm. are pretty staggering,
yeah.
which is highly, highly unfortunate. We'll get into maybe what we can do about that. But
I would love to.
In the meantime, maybe you can tell our listeners, I want to clarify for them, mandatory reporting is an agency or an institution that must report.
Mm-hmm.
And I would imagine that includes schools.
Yep.
And if I recall, like hospitals, mm-hmm. Emergency room doctors are mm-hmm. mandatory reporters, those types mm-hmm. of things, right?
Yep. Teachers, school, anybody working in a school will be a mandatory or mandated reporter. You know, police officers, children and youth workers, advocates, some clergy are mandated reporters as well.
Right.
So it just depends. A lot of volunteer organizations that have outreach to youth, they're mandated reporters. So there's a lot of people that are under that umbrella of mandated reporter.
Right, because there was a time when that wasn't there.
You're absolutely correct.
And that allowed people to just kind of turn their head and say, I don't want to get involved. But now you mm-hmm. don't really have a choice.
No,
if you see it, you must report it.
And if you don't, you risk criminal prosecution.
Right, or losing your license or
yeah,
whatever it is.
It can be really serious. So it's important for mandated reporters to make sure they do those mandated reports. Now, Michael, I do want to touch on the fact that if somebody believes a child's being abused, they are welcome to call Childline. And
okay.
I have that number here if you'd like
me absolutely. Please share any information. This is extremely important to our community.
Sure. So if you believe or suspect, and the nice thing in Pennsylvania is it's not that you have to have proof or evidence that a child's being abused, but if you have a suspicion of abuse, you're able to call Childline. And that number is 1-800-932-0313. And again, that number is 1-800-932-0313.
And if I'm not mistaken, you can do it anonymously.
Yes.
There are ways to keep your name out of it. But if I know Commissioner Winters was on recently and ended the show by saying, if you see something, keep an eye out on children. Like, we as society, we sometimes say, oh, the children are out there playing or whatever. But we should pay close attention to what's going on
mm-hmm.
Outside and with them and notice those very subtle but important changes in their behavior and attitudes. If you
absolutely.
Think something's wrong, you can make a call.
Yeah, absolutely. And things that parents or caregivers can notice, or teachers, if you have a kiddo that has a sudden drop in grades.
Right.
You had a really good student that was, you know, really excelling. What caused that drop in grades? And a lot of times there's something that happened, whether it was, you know, some abusive circumstance or maybe just a trauma, but paying attention to that and being mindful to make sure that kiddo has the support they need to get through that. And if they are being abused, we want to get them the help they need so that they can get out of that situation.
And in most cases, like, I consider you an expert in this area, but in most cases you will notice something. In most cases,
I would say in most cases you're going to see some type of change. It might be subtle,
right?
So, you know, some kids are incredibly resilient and they may not display
right.
major changes, but yeah, you should see some subtleties. Some of the kiddos maybe not, but that's
right.
going to be less common.
Yeah, I just, you know, your heart breaks when you hear about this, but unfortunately it's a reality in our society today.
It absolutely
is. And it seems
is.
Like it's only increasing, which I don't like. I may be wrong about that, but maybe it's because we hear more about it. But those are pretty big numbers, even just in Clearfield County.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we have to remember that child abuse, the outcry to respond to child sexual abuse did not really start in our country until the 70s, was the first time there was a call to action. So this movement in responding to this is still fairly new.
Right.
So I think keeping that in mind, and I know as we look at numbers increasing, sometimes that can be scary and we think it's getting worse. But what I like to think is that we're getting better at training people on what to look for.
Sure, absolutely. So, there are really important things that go into that number. That means we're well aware of what's happening, and where this would have been missed 10 years ago.
Right. And I think we as a society and a culture, we have an obligation to take care of our kiddos. And we need to really make sure that when we think there's something wrong, we say something.
Yes, absolutely. And I think... can you just explain, like, the region that you're over and who we work with? I think you do work with, like, obviously the local police, the district attorney's office. There are obviously the county commissioners have some sort of voice in this.
Sure. So we, the Child Advocacy Center of Clearfield County, we're part of Clearfield County's multidisciplinary investigative team for child abuse response. And that's actually made up of Clearfield County District Attorney's Office, Clearfield County Children and Youth and Family Services, the Child Advocacy Center of Clearfield County, State Police Clearfield, Dubois and Punxsutawney, Bigler Township Police Department, Clearfield Regional Police Department, Kerwinsville Police Department, Dubois City Police Department, Sandy Township Police Department, Senclair, Community Actions Crossroads Project, Passages, Clearfield County Victim Witness, and then John Batcher is our nurse practitioner on our team as well.
Yes, and to give insight into the people in the area, like, how many employees are there?
For the Child Advocacy Center, we have two full-time staff and a part-time staff, and then Kirby, our dog. Can't forget about him.
No, he's definitely an employee.
Yeah, so we serve, you know, about 200 to 225 kiddos a year with 2.5 full-time equivalent staff. So.
That's amazing, but it also has to be a lot.
It is.
Obviously, these folks are trained to be able to handle this, because I would say that this job has got to be difficult.
It can be, absolutely. And self-care, that is something that is incredibly important, and we always try to make sure that's at the forefront, is we can't give what we don't have.
Right.
So as people working in this field, it's so important that we're taking care of ourselves to avoid burnout. Or vicarious trauma, or secondary post-traumatic stress, all things that people that are working within child abuse investigations are at a higher probability of being exposed to, just because of the severity of the the topic. So, yeah, we build that in. Self-care is an important part of what we do.
Yeah, and I happen to know you, so I know that you take it very seriously as director to make sure that those people, because I would think... I don't work in that field, but I have said it on the show. Children, youth, and services, that type of stuff, and this, in my mind, falls under that umbrella, is one of the toughest jobs in America.
Absolutely. They are often charged with having to make potentially life or death decisions for kiddos, especially if it's a neglect situation and they don't, you know, they carry a big burden, right? And if they make the wrong choice and a kid gets hurt, that's a lot to carry. So it's a very important job. And I believe our children and youth are doing a really great job helping to keep kids safe.
Absolutely. And I believe that too. And I know this show puts a lot of focus on CYS. Mm-hmm. I'm no stranger to it, having gone through the system.
Sure.
So I try to use this platform to bring attention to things like adoption, mm-hmm. getting children out of bad situations. But so we will continue to do that. I look forward to having, I think we have a new director of CYS in Clearfield
Trudy,
County.
Trudy Lamadue is the new administrator for Clearfield County Children and Youth.
And I look forward to reaching out to her to have a show about it, to continue to put the spotlight on. I don't want to put you in a political position, but I do want to point out that Commissioner Winters did say that they went back mm-hmm. into contracts, mm-hmm. and I brought it up on this show. I'm not taking credit for it, but I was very excited to hear that they went back in specifically for CYS workers mm-hmm. and did up the wage. I know wages are a hot topic in Clearfield County, so I don't want us to spend too much time on that, but were you pleased with that?
I was. So I know last year there was also a wage increase for CYS, which was very much needed.
Right.
That's a very... like we just talked about, a very high stress job. And then the most recent bump that just happened, what, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, I think they went in
a week ago.
He and Commissioner Glass came together and reopened it. But I think it's a step in the right direction.
Absolutely.
And it helps us hire new people.
And I do believe that since that point, they've started to receive applicants.
Right.
And that is incredibly positive, because that means our CYS in our county has been incredibly understaffed for a long time, which is just really unfortunate.
And to be fair, that's in all counties.
Yeah.
Most likely across the country, because yes. I think the job is just so tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. And I'm actually on, I'm the Western Regional Rep for the Children's Advocacy Center of Pennsylvania. So I'm in touch with a lot of CACs throughout the state, all 41. And we know that throughout Pennsylvania, there is a shortage of caseworkers. But I do think that wage increase will absolutely be a step in the right direction to get qualified candidates that will have longevity at their jobs.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just so important, but I'm glad that they did that. And I congratulate the commissioners for coming together. It's not political, but it was bipartisanly done to mm-hmm. help a situation that desperately, in my opinion, needed some real help. So it's a step in the right direction.
Absolutely.
It may not be perfect, but it is a step in the, again, a very important step in the right direction.
No.
And the reason I bring that up, though, too, is I know I met a young man with you this morning, your intern.
Yeah.
His name is Austin. Austin studies at Penn State Altoona in Human Development and Family Studies. He's excited to go into this field, but that's mm-hmm. really, really important. And
yeah.
I think this sends the right message to younger folks who are studying, that you can have a really impactful job in county government that can make mm-hmm. a difference and still make a livable wage and have a great career.
And for a long time, and I think that's a great point, Michael, because for a long time in society, it seemed like people in the helping field always, they didn't have very good paying jobs, right?
Right.
You were just doing it because you love to help people. But the problem is, how do you pay your bills?
Right.
You can love to help all you want, but if you're not getting a wage that is needed, you know, you can't survive on that. So what we did see for a while was a lot of people leaving to go into different forms of government, oftentimes, you know, leaving the whole helping side of it to seek that higher paying job. So this, like I said, is a great step in the right direction.
Absolutely. And I had a good conversation with Austin. We're not going to put him on the air and put him on the spot, but very important that my opinion, again, that young people are going into this. He
yeah.
seems to be enjoying his internship with you, which mm-hmm. I think is good.
Yeah.
He's learning from you. But like, what are some of the things that you focus on with him that will help him
interns?
In his career?
Absolutely. Yeah. So we do accept interns. I think that's an important thing to make sure everybody knows. And during those internships, we make sure that our students have the ability to shadow. So when they're shadowing, they're part of the observing forensic interviews, being part of what we have a multidisciplinary team case review every month. So they get to be part of that. They get to help. Austin's actually digitizing our files We were all paper files for the longest time. So he's been taking and helping us get digitized because we don't have time to do it. So each intern gets to pick a project. I also give them some creative freedom on that. It's what do you want to do for your legacy here? A lot of times they'll pick different, you know, I've had all kinds of different things. So from artwork to, you know, digitizing files to going out and doing community work. You know, they get to pick that piece and do that. So additionally, we talk about, I know I spent a lot of time talking with Austin about student loan repayment and what that's going to look like, because it's important to know. He's going into the helping field. He's got student loan debt. Sorry for putting you on the spot like that, Austin.
No, but I think most students do, and it's a great point. Again, hopefully a job that helps pay off those loans, and that's the reality of where we are. But I also want to point out that he did say to me, which I thought was great, that you just don't teach them just about this, but just in family and life in general.
We talk about saving for retirement so that we don't have to work until we die.
Right. No, but all important things and all good lessons that you don't always learn in college. With that, we're going to take a break. I'm live with Dr. Mary Tatum, and we are having a great conversation. We're going to return after this message. Contact on Connect FM is brought to you in part by Lifespan Family Services for local adoption and foster care services.
LifespanFamilyServices.com provides foster care and adoption services throughout this area. Lifespan helps train you, support you, and works with you to make you a quality foster parent. If you have any interest in fostering, please call us today at 814-375-1314. We have a foster parent here today, and I'd like to ask, what is one thing that you thought was the most important reason to use Lifespan Family Services as your foster care provider?
Whenever my husband and I were researching foster agencies to work with, we were drawn to Lifespan. And then whenever we began to reach out, Lifespan was very responsive in getting back to us and being very patient while they walked us through the steps that we needed to take in order to become approved foster parent.
Was it an easy process?
Yes, with the guidance of our caseworker, we were able to take the trainings, receive our clearances, meet all of our home requirements in a very timely manner.
So folks, if you'd like to foster, we will help you on your journey to become a quality foster parent. LifespanFamilyServices.com.
Welcome back to Contact on Connect FM. I'm your host, Michael Clement. We're having a very important and really good conversation with Dr. Mary Tatum. She is the director of the Child Advocacy Center of Clearfield County. Dr. Tatum, and I know you like being called Mary.
I do.
Mary, I know we left off talking about Austin and his great, bright future. I know we want to give another shout out to Kirby for all the work he does, but I know you want to tell us how people can get involved.
Absolutely. So thank you so much for that, Michael. So things that people can do at a local level to get involved with us is you can follow us on Facebook, Child Advocacy Center of Clearfield County. Like us, follow us, and like our content. That helps boost our algorithm. It gets our reach out further. On our Facebook page, we do have our Amazon wish list pinned to the top. If you would like to actually buy some supplies for the CAC, they ship directly to the CAC. If you have kiddos between the ages of pre-K to 12, we do a yearly coloring contest. That is what we use to publish in our calendar. The other thing, if you would like to sponsor one of our months in our calendar, we are always looking for calendar sponsorships. Save the date, November 9th, 2024 at the Copper Cork in Clearfield is our annual fall festival. That is our largest fundraiser. And then simple things you can do. Get a picture wearing blue and send it to our Facebook page, and we'll post it online for Child Abuse Prevention Month. I also have a I Believe You sign that you can get a picture with, and we'll post that on our Facebook page. And then in August, we have a thing called the Shine Campaign, which, again, if you're following us on Facebook, I'll have ways to get engaged with that. If you message the Facebook page and give us your email address, I can add you to our newsletter list.
Yeah, no, those are some great ways. Very important. Would you give that 1-800 number again?
I would love to give the 1-800 number again. So to call Childline if you believe a child is being, you suspect a child is being abused, 1-800-932-0313. Again, that's 1-800-932-0313.
It's National Child Abuse Prevention Month, and we want to put our focus on that to try to lower those numbers for you at the CAC. But Dr. Mary Tatum, Austin, we appreciate you both stopping in and giving us what I think is vital information and extremely important information to our community.
Thank you so much for having us on, Michael.
Yes, absolutely. And if there's anything this show can do, I would hope that you would just let us know. Please know that we're very big supporters of what you do for our county, and we appreciate your service to us. And I hope the listeners have learned something important, and they can go to your Facebook page mm-hmm. and start sharing away great pictures. But yeah. Again, I want to thank you. Thank you for all you do, and we will see you next time.
Thank you.